What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, alongside the second best baby blues in all of San Francisco, maybe the world, Mr. Tim Geddes. It's Christmas everywhere she goes, Joey Noel.
Hello.
And the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Street Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the Globetrotting Headshot Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv, Mr. Andy Cortez.
I love something downstairs, guys.
We're bringing the hits today, everybody. You know what? I'm loving it.
You know what, Tim? He's had that desk.
He's coming back.
Did he get it?
It wasn't downstairs, dude. It wasn't downstairs. Oh, it was in my upstairs. Elevator.
Go
over.
Upstairs.
It was in my elevator, Andy. Kevin. Hold on.
Wait, that also went downstairs, though.
It's a different direction.
It's like a Resident Evil building where it's so very complicated.
Andy, can you take your SFO airport people mover over from one side of the room to the other?
Oh, shit. Yeah, sure.
What the fuck is he doing? How is he doing this?
Guys.
Oh my gosh.
We are already off to great energy.
Is he on a skateboard? What is this drink?
It's really good. That was some marching band energy right there. You have really nice, like, no head movement whatsoever.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. If you guys didn't know, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. We do this twice a week, once with just the gang, and then we have special guests that come here and there. We just had Justin Roiland on, creator of Rick and Morty, and yeah, that was a great episode. Man, that's one of those episodes where you're like, wow, we're getting good guests. We're getting real good guests.
It's
one of those where I'm like, just awesome to listen to that guy talk. So definitely go check out that episode. Also, this week we have Anna Sale returning to the podcast for a second time to talk about, among other things, death, sex, and money, her podcast, but also her new book, Let's Talk About Hard Things. So she'll be here this week to hang out with us, which will be cool. Shout out, of course, to everyone that makes this possible, not the least of which are our amazing Patreon producers this week, this month, Joshua Schroeder, Delaney Twining, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, and Steve Powers. You are also amazing. Maybe it's twining. I say twining because it reminds me of a tea that my wife eats. I say twining.
Do you really?
Wow. Twinings, yeah.
I have said twining on hundreds of episodes.
I've always thought it was just twining, yeah, just because of the amount of times I've heard it.
Delaney, tweet at Tim Geddes and let him know.
Send one of the voice memos.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I'm pretty sure he's written into one of the shows to tell us how to say it.
Really? We should have listened probably on that one episode.
Yeah, but
only counts for so much. Like, that's good for like 10, maybe 20 episodes. After that, you got to send in a new reminder.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood what you were saying. I thought you were saying, yeah, he told us how to pronounce it, but, you know, anybody can have their own opinion. I was like, it's him saying it. That only counts for so much, you know. We have other people's opinions to think about.
Like your name, you can pronounce your name however you want, but I mean, I've heard it both ways. Mm-hmm. That's so true, though, Kevin, because you have to do like, and people remind us of things, but you know me, I have the world's worst memory.
I will forget.
We're dumb.
If they say it on Games Daily, that means that like three quarters of you maybe aren't there.
Where's Blessing now?
Yeah, great. Blessing knows everything, just like always.
You know what I'm always talking
about? Blessing. That's all I'm fucking hearing about.
Blessing knows everything, and he's the best at Mario. He's best at cheating at Mario Party.
How many stars he got.
It's just really dumb.
He got five. The next highest was two.
Damn, it's embarrassing for everybody. Blessing. I'm on your side again. That's how easy that is.
Oh, wow. You just flipped. You just flipped right back to the side.
Have turned.
They've did turned. You all do, I like that you did this to turn. That's a flip. That's a flip.
I was going to say flip.
But it's hard to turn the table.
And then turned.
And then turned, yeah. And now we're all sitting on just the little spiky parks. What are they called? Legs?
Yeah.
Take a
vigorous sip of that coffee as if we're not going to notice what you just said.
Yeah,
we're just going to go through. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Miller could not join us today. Walked right into a window like a bird.
Wow.
Just did that. Didn't know it was open. Tried to go through it. Window. Hit the window. Fell down. Snake bit him right in the eyeball. Right in the eye socket. And I keep saying this. I don't know, Tim. I don't know. You weren't on the podcast last week, but we figured out the impetus of the snakes. Apparently, according to Greg, Gio's going around with just a box of rattlesnakes, giving them to people. So if you could ask her to stop doing that, that would be amazing.
All right, well, I'll ask you. I'll ask you to stop doing that.
It would benefit the company a lot. Yeah.
You guys are gonna have to ask me to stop buying Steelbook Blu-rays because I have a fucking problem. You guys, I want to show.
No.
We gotta talk about the weird addictions here at Kind of Funny, because I'm worried about one person in particular, but we'll get to that person in a second.
Tim, I'm excited. This is gonna be a great topic today. I can already feel that there's a vibe here. There's gonna be a lot of secrets uncovered and shit. But no, I have a problem when it comes to physical media, and Best Buy is enabling that problem in a real way because they have some of the dopest exclusive steelbooks. So every week they just kind of release a new batch of these exclusive steelbooks, and I'm always just checking. And I keep telling myself, I'm like, I'm not gonna go down the rabbit hole. Here I am down the fucking rabbit hole, right?
You're in it.
But how am I not going to buy this? Are you kidding me? Look at this Dread.
That's fucking great buy.
Dread, wait, which Dread, right?
Is that 4K? It's Dread. That's Dread. Like the real, the good Dread, okay, Kevin. Yeah.
Rob Schneider, I know. Dread? Come on. It's a great movie.
Hey, guys, let's do a Judge Dread movie, but it needs comic relief. How about some Rob Schneider along with your Judge Dredd? Yeah, that'll capture the overall vibe of the original comic.
Fantastic, being honest. And I always
so this addiction all started at Best Buy when I saw this that I had to buy, which is
dope. I can't even get
John
mad at
Wick,
you for that.
The entire trilogy, baby. It's all three of them in this, and it's all 4K, of course. But then I got Dredd. I'm like, fuck. I need this.
Wait,
I need this.
But hold on. In that picture, Dredd, he looks like a little anime, little
yeah, his
toy.
Arm looks like it's like small, right?
His head looks so big and his body looks small.
His head is so big.
But it's not. It's really not.
Especially
it's
compared to his mouth.
Well, that's
his
the way mouth
is
looks.
A helmet in real big. Life.
I am the law, he says. Mr. Dredd.
Oh, fuck. That's so cool.
God. Andy is the law.
Nailed it.
Andy, for the rest of this podcast, you are allowed to make whatever law you want. We have to adhere to it. You are the law.
And then next up, I got this, which I just had to fucking buy.
I like that
me?
One too.
That's so
are you kidding
cool.
me, dude? Look at this.
Wait,
wow,
did you buy these in person?
Kevin.
It's true.
I ordered them on.
Audio listeners, what are we looking at?
Doesn't matter. It's a mystery.
Oh, we're looking at the Hocus Pocus.
Why am I asking that?
I love that Andy is the keeper of the audio. Like, he's the guard of the audio listeners.
Because they yelled at him.
It's my favorite thing.
Now
he's self-conscious.
They scared me, yeah.
Guys, Tim, I want you to guess. Sorry, go for it.
Wait, before we do that, just as a side note, I want you to earmark this. And actually, you know what, Delaney, when you're tweeting at Tim to let you know about his name, please remind him that I would like to go over to his house Halloween, have some fun, drink some punch, and watch Hocus Pocus this Halloween.
We'll do it, guys. I really, really love it.
I want to have a Hocus Pocus party. I get to be Sarah Jessica Parker.
And now, the last one for you guys. I want you to guess. What steel case Blu-ray did I
Fast
buy?
Fast and Furious.
I definitely did need to buy. Thank you, Nick Scarpino. This is now my fourth
I know,
copy.
It's like, it's got to be Fast and Furious.
My fourth copy of Fast
you
and Furious
just bought
in 4K.
Didn't you just buy the whole set last year?
Yeah, but
for a second time,
Joey, this is the 20th anniversary edition. What does that mean that it's the exact same disc that I've had a million times?
Yeah.
The exact same one.
Someone's
going to
steal that code
from
you, Tim.
Is someone
going
to get the code? Who's getting the code?
Who's getting the code?
You earned it.
Someone can get the code. Look,
Delaney, go for it.
Audio listeners are really going to be pissed off now. They don't have access to even trying to get that code. One thing I want to say though, Tim, is that like the 4K Fast and Furious movies aren't great looking.
They're not.
It's really sad. Why can't everybody just do it right? You know.
Yeah, but they sound great though, and that's the key. Sound is 50% of a movie. George Lucas, he once said that.
It's true. The other 50% bad writing. Here's what I'm going to ask you, Tim. I need to come over to your house and borrow some 4K Blu-rays because I now have a PS5 and I now have a TV that's 4K. And I have yet to hook the PS5 up to the TV and watch a single thing in 4K. I've had the TV for 3 months.
You are missing out.
What is so wrong with
I'm going to just hand you a stack of things to watch.
Hold on.
Oh, everyone's going. Audio listeners, everyone's just
Tim's
leaving
the
podcast.
Same shit I have.
Yeah, I know.
Andy,
and this,
just, what are they going to have?
Heads up.
Not only make you watch Speed Racer.
I'm not watching Speed Racer.
Stop. Joey,
it's not gonna happen, Kevin.
You know it hurts.
I know. I like to cause problems, though. We've gone a long time without any.
Joey, Speed Racer can't be mastered in 4K.
Of course. Why?
Oh, really?
Would, like,
oh,
duh.
Sad.
Yeah,
the 4K reissue.
It makes a difference.
Lord of the Rings audio listener. He's showing us a giant book that looks like the Bible, but it says Lord of the Rings on it.
It's the 4K one, the one that they just recolored and redid recently.
Okay. Oh, is this one that you and Lucy were waiting for?
The Dark Knight trilogy.
The HDR Dark Knight trilogy.
We got Dunkirk. I have all the Nolan stuff that I bought for in review.
I'm probably going to pass on Dunkirk.
The Xbox One X that Joey lent me broke. So sorry about that, Joe. I'll pay you back really soon.
I'd love to watch Interstellar in 4K.
Inception and most importantly, Nick, with all of the fantastic IMAX scenes, Mission Impossible
5. Oh,
you can go no wrong. The incredible thing about Mission Impossible Fallout is that my dad and I watched the first half of it on regular DVD, not knowing that it wasn't 4K because the IMAX shots are still scaled up really nicely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 4K DVD players, they try to do the up-resing thing or whatever. Sure. And it still looked impressive. And then we were like, oh my God, this wasn't the 4K disc. Let's pop in that fucking 4K disc. And it looks amazing. I mean, it's just one of the helicopter shots are all 4K, Nick. The jumping out of the airplane is all 4K. Or when I say 4K, I mean like the IMAX shots, the full frame IMAX shots. Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic stuff right there.
Okay. I might.
And then, of course, you know, I don't really know if – I don't think IMAX really affects the other Mission Impossible movies. Or 4K rather. They're usually like the Marvel movies are all 2K usually. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing though, and that you're right about that. And that's the problem. Things like Speed Racer, Nick, you mentioned it. It's the only reason I'm bringing it up. It's not 4K.
I did not mention it. Kevin mentioned it. That was a Kevin.
Joey mentioned it.
Joey mentioned it. Okay. I don't want to take credit for that.
They're supposedly going to try to make it in 4K, right? It just won't look as good.
And it's, the intermediary codecs and all that stuff. There's the whole fucking thing. But 4K is not the only thing because there's HDR. There's a lot of stuff added to these discs that do enhance it.
That's true.
It's a lot. But, Nick, the answer is simple for you. It is this. You have the LG OLED.
That's amazing.
You're going to want to watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Okay. The colors are fucking insane.
Okay,
if you want something that's a little more realistic, boom, Blade Runner 20.
Oh, see, I was going to ask you if you had that. Okay, I need to watch that again.
It's the standard when it comes to the visual side of the whole thing. When it comes to the audio visual, I'm not talking about the quality of the movie, just talking about the quality of the experience. Boom, Ready Player One.
Okay,
this is like the standard demo disc that you want to show off. Specifically,
there's
that
a lot
first
of fun
race,
audio.
The first fun race, really fucking cool. Quality ass movie, like the opposite of that, like where it's a great movie and it looks and sounds fantastic. Boom,
Mad Max. I knew it.
Ooh.
Fury
you know what?
Road.
I might borrow that because I don't think Dee's ever seen that. She's like, it's gonna be too intense. I was like, oh yeah, it's gonna be way too intense for you, but we're gonna watch it.
I think I'm the only person on planet Earth, and I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. That I liked Mad Max Fury Road. I like when everybody else is kind of like, you know, falling over themselves for it. I was like, this is a great movie. It just wasn't great for me, and maybe I need to rewatch it. But I just thought it was like a good ass movie.
No,
and
you might not.
I felt like it was like the next coming of Christ, according to everybody, right? And I was like, you know what, I'm probably in the wrong on this. I may need to rewatch it with a nice TV now.
I'm kind of with you where it's like, I like, it's awesome, it's great, but like I do think it was a little overhyped, but it's, you know, not a big deal.
I think you guys are 100% right for feeling that.
Could have used Paul Rudd
could use Paul Walker also. The thing about Mad Max Fury Road for me was that if you are a fan of the Mad Max series, it was super cool to see George Miller come back to it, do all the stuff practically, do all the road work and all that shit without doing a lot of effects, and just tell a Mad Max style story. And I think that's what a lot of people responded to, myself included, is like, I'm a big fan of Road Warrior and Thunderdome, and to a degree the original Mad Max, even though it's kind of hard to get through because it's a completely different movie, it's an indie movie, so it's very, very simple. But so seeing him come back to that and just do a legit sequel and another movie in the series was, I think, really cool for people. And nailing the tone and nailing the vibe and just having Charlize Theron kind of be the lead alongside Tom Hardy's Mad Max. And that was really cool for people. But if you're not into that type of movie, there's no reason why you should need to watch it again if it didn't vibe with you. I love that his post-apocalyptic style is so fucking rad.
Is it shot really well for 4K, Tim, before Kevin interjects?
I mean, that's the thing. It's Mad Max Fury Road. It's like, I'm kind of more with you and Kev when it comes to the movie, maybe a little higher than you guys, but in terms of like the 4K transfer and all that stuff, it's the standard, man. Like,
okay,
it's
cool.
Beautiful.
Very cool.
Now, Nick, let me ask you this question, Tim, before we go. Before Kevin, hold. I want to get your question real quick, but I have to ask Tim a question before I forget. Is the 4K Blu-ray for Blade Runner 2049 going to be better than me watching it on HBO Max on my computer screen?
On your iPad, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to piss him off. All right, Kevin, what was your question?
You almost gave me a fucking stroke, just so you know. No, I was going to say, have you heard the theory that the Mad Max in the Mad Max movie is the little kid from the second Mad Max grown up?
Sorry, say that again?
Oh, there's a lot of words in there. In the Fury Road.
Yeah, there are.
Road. Yes, well, in Fury Road. Okay.
I'm trying to move away so that I don't use the word Mad Max enough that, as many times. Fair. So in Fury Road,
yeah,
the Mad Max that we see acts very different from the Mad Max.
Tom Hardy. Yeah.
From the other movie, Mel Gibson's Mad Max. There is a theory that the kid from Mad Max 2, you know, the kid with the fucking metal boomerang.
Yeah. Yeah, the crazy fucking kid. It's like, like feral.
Right, that doesn't talk much. He grows up idolizing Mad Max and becomes the
and
Mad
just takes
Max
over the moniker.
Yeah.
That's cool. That would be cool. That would,
it's like James Bond.
That's the only thing for me that like pushes it to the next level. Like, I hope that we get someday hints of that being true.
Interesting. I doubt he'll ever go that deep into the lore, but I think because they're doing another one, right?
They're doing two, I believe. A prequel and
with
a
Anya Taylor-Joy, right?
See, I just think it's cool. I think that what I loved most about that movie was that it wasn't about Mad Max. It was about Charlize. It was about, what was her, Furiosa? It was about her. And it was about the like her journey. And he was just kind of along for the ride. And I love how understated he is in the entire movie, where he doesn't even talk for the first like 30 minutes of it. And then says like three words. I just love it. I'm also just a huge fan of that.
Segue, Nick, what are you drinking in your coffee right now?
Oh, Andy, the coffee has been gone for a while. This is just a big old bunch of this. Right,
you put Coach in there. That's right. I forgot you put that in there.
It's Friday. We woke up a little early for the production meeting. It's possible I was burning it out last night till about 1 o'clock in the morning in the war zone. So we're staying caffeinated.
Because I did my weekly Starbucks thing where I just kind of, you know, click on stuff on the phone. I don't really have a whole lot of direction. I don't really know what I'm doing.
You're so brave.
Per se.
Wait, I'm sorry. Back up.
So many questions.
I do a lot too. You just order things through the Starbucks mobile app without knowing what you're ordering.
Well, it's more of me trying to find the thing that I like and hoping that I remember. Mark that one down. I mean, that was a good one. Yeah.
So here's what I'm going to tell you about Starbucks right now is it's not about finding the thing you like. It's about finding the thing you need. And for me, it's just caffeine. As much caffeine as humanly possible. I think Tim's with me on that one. Remember when we used to get Trenti iced coffees? It was right there. Okay, there. He's still got it.
So
just a jug of iced coffee.
Because I guess for me, it's not really what I need. I've got caffeine in spades here, right? I've got tons of energy drinks. But every once a week, especially when it's cooler in the morning, I like doing a warmer beverage, especially if we're going to be on camera early, right? It kind of feels like home.
Feels right, yeah.
Do you like coffee, Andy?
I never drink coffee at home. I do, Joey, and I would drink it a lot more probably if we had I think we do have a Keurig here, but I just don't really know what Joey,
I fucking hate you, Andy. I love how useless you are. You're like, I mean, I'm in this house and there's probably house things here, but like.
Yeah.
What's amazing is that, I don't
remember you drinking coffee at the office, but.
I did. I did for sure. Yeah, I mean, I had the Splatoon mug that I used quite often on the morning shows and stuff like that. I used the Keurig quite often there. But then after a while, there would only be dark roast available. It's like,
someone drank all the Dunkin' Donuts and it was just like the leftover.
Yeah. So this is another morning of me just kind of picking something. And this one is called GR Flat White.
A grande flat white.
And I'm not really sure what the flat white is, but at one point I think I love cinnamon in my stuff. Right. And at one point I ordered one of the cinnamon beverages and this thing was 80% foam. And I'm pretty sure I said
you got to say no foam.
Because here's the thing on the foam options. Sometimes they got dry. Sometimes they got wet.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe that's not an option. But they have like different foam options with weird words.
Well, they have the cold foam.
Yeah, Joe, I just wish in the foam options, like add a little JPEG for all of them. Let me see what all the foam, because you're putting words for what the foam options are. I don't know what that looks like, though, when it comes in the cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look it up right now. But today I ordered this flat white because the other day I was pretty unimpressed.
What's the description for a flat white so we all know? Because I'm not quite sure what that is.
Let me look it up.
I think it's supposed to be like a reverse latte.
You can't just say shit like a reverse latte.
Well, isn't a latte a reverse cappuccino?
Hold on. No, I'm going to have a graphic in a moment.
Okay, so this thing standard comes with 3 espresso shots.
Oh, shit. What button did I press?
Oh, there it is. PS5 provided by PlayStation for review. This episode's brought to you by PS5. We all love them. Let's go.
Of course, I have to get almond milk. That's like the standard. I need to do that, so I'm not doing
that. Have you tried oat milk? Yeah.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
It's like drinking cereal. It tastes like the milk left over from cereal sometimes, like oaty.
Oat milk. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. All right.
Okay.
It's a little thicker, sweeter.
I'll keep that in mind. But I added cinnamon powder, cinnamon dolce syrup. And so I'm going to do a taste test here in a bit to see if maybe this could possibly be the one. But the one that I got last time was very disappointing. And I think it was a cafe latte.
You just got a latte then at that point.
Grande cafe latte. But I swear it was like really, really small. No milk foam was what I asked for, and I'm pretty sure it had milk foam. Maybe that was just their mistake.
Another one I got was coffee frappuccino.
That's the one where I didn't know it was going to be frozen, and it was frozen. I had a coffee slushie at nine in the morning.
Yeah, so anything that's a frappuccino is frozen. It's frozen. The frappuccino sounds like frozen cappuccino, right? Yeah, frozen cappuccino. Kevin, I can't read the words here. What does that first picture of the flat white say?
So it looks like what's on top. So on the left, let's say it's steamed milk and espresso, and on the right, and that's the flat white, and then on the right, it's the same thing except for it has milk foam on the top.
I think the ratio is different too.
Yeah, because that's the only difference between really a latte and a cappuccino is the ratio of foam to milk to espresso.
Starbucks has a little description. It says smooth ristretto shots of espresso get the perfect amount of steamed whole milk to create a not too strong, not too creamy, just right flavor. That's what they say on top. But that's more of a delicious, like let's compliment our drink as opposed to let's tell you what you're getting sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's just kind of trying to button me up, you know?
This drink is really going to go well with you, Andy. This drink's going to rub your...
Exactly.
This is a nice drink for a Sunday afternoon. Hold on. What the fuck is it? What's in it?
I'm going to try to create a new order because it's really... It's the foam stuff that's got me all.
Well, let's start at the basics here with you, Andy. Do you want it to be sweet, or do you want it just to be an espresso drink?
No, espresso drink. Like I like a little bit of sugar taste. I like leaning towards sweet. I don't want this shit to be like the mocha fraps that we would get when we were in high school and hang out at the Starbucks mm-hmm. trying to flirt with a cute girl over there. Yeah,
right, right.
No, I don't want that super sweet taste. But I do like a little bit of cinnamon. I like the cinnamon to go along with my coffee.
Okay. Well, you can always add a dash of cinnamon to the top of it.
Oh, here we go.
Before the order comes out.
Here's the explanations for the foam. Regular foam, extra dry, wet, extra wet, dry. Those are the five options that they give you.
Wait, say that again?
Yeah. Why is dry hand?
Like dry is bookended. This sounds like I'm being a goof right now, but the foam, it's regular foam. Extra dry, wet, extra wet, dry.
I can't fathom that people actually do that when you order it. Like there's so many different options that I have to imagine there's like, you're getting fucking foam. You're not getting extra wet slash dry foam.
Especially from somewhere foam. Like Starbucks where it's like, that's not why you're here. You're not getting your like very specific coffee drink here. You're here because it's convenient.
Although maybe actually Joe, to paint the counter argument for that, Starbucks is sort of like the Jiffy Lube of like coffee restaurants, right? Or coffee establishments.
You mean in terms of how custom they can get?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that, but I'm just saying they're very efficient. So maybe they do have it down to a science where like they just look at it and they're like, I can do all this stuff because it's like it's made to order shit like that.
That's what I love about Whataburger and how when you order a Whataburger, they have stickers, very descriptive stickers that they put on top of the burger that say, you know, the yellow one is like whatever cheese and the red one is know this and the green one is know that or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they get very custom with their stuff. And I'd like to think that Starbucks is the same way, but I'm just trying to find a drink. I think this one might be the one because this one, obviously a lot of caffeine, espresso shots, but it tastes good too. It's got a good taste to it. I might try oat milk next time. Maybe that's the modifier that I go for.
Well, oat milk and cinnamon. Sounds like
I'm excited for you, man.
If there is a next time, jeez.
Jeez. There will be. I will say that, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but I am shocked that the default iced coffee at Starbucks is sweetened.
It's
That's
horrible.
Backwards as hell. That it's should horrible. Not be.
No,
case.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
But it's like, it's weird having to order an unsweetened iced coffee. Yeah. You should order a sweetened iced coffee. The default iced coffee should just be, should be an iced coffee.
It should be iced coffee.
If you order a Trenta iced coffee.
Yeah.
Do you see how many pumps I'm familiar. That says?
Seven pumps of classic sugar.
Seven. How many sweetened pumps?
Here's what I want.
Seven.
Tell me. Look but at this. Do me a favor.
Here's where look it gets confusing. Mm-hmm. You think, is Tim not also the person that thinks that cheeseburger should be default?
Yeah, his opinions on cheeseburgers are garbage. We all know that, but.
Because I feel like that's the opposite of what you're saying for this sweetened iced coffee.
No, if I order an iced coffee.
The majority of people in the world, Joey, think an iced coffee is unsweetened. Yeah. Starbucks is the only people that default to sweetened.
It boils down to this. If I say
Starbucks is the majority of coffee in the world.
The craft beverage they want to serve with like a level of sweetness, then they should be able to dictate. That's they're presenting their
Thank
version
you,
of the iced
Thank
coffee.
You.
Yeah, but Joe, here's what you're missing. Okay, the world's obviously centers around me. When I get an iced coffee and someone accidentally puts those seven pumps of, I think the ventis only have like five, but still, they put the classic syrup in there, right? And you take that first swig, expecting it not to be in there, and that shitty, like cheap,
it tastes like chemical.
Sugar,
I don't
chemically
like it.
Thing hits your lips. It makes me literally want to throw up.
I love that you hate that sugar, but you're fine with housing Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah. So this is aspartame right here. This is aspartame.
But there is something weird and chemically yeah. about chemical. There's something weird and chemical-esque.
Yeah, chemical-esque.
of... with the syrup that Starbucks does put in their sweetening syrup or whatever, like there's something about the flavor that does just it rubs me the wrong way. I'd rather like just have powdered sugar in there, kind of mixed throughout, because something about it just tastes. It tastes like when you're trying to take medicine and they add a little sweetener to it. It's like this still tastes like medicine.
Still
you know?
Tastes like medicine. Yeah.
I don't love the taste of an unsweetened coffee. The same with. You know, my feelings towards unsweetened coffee are very similar to like unsweetened iced tea or even beer. Like it's a bitter taste. Maybe I need to get, more familiar with it, mm-hmm. but it's just not for me. But when you add a little bit of a sweetener to it, it kind of makes it worse. It really is like the poopery after taking a big old dump.
Great way to put
it. And it just smells like dump with a little bit of poopery. You know?
It's like smelling a big pile of shit and a rose at the same time. You're just like, it's still shit.
It's dominating. Yeah, like you already soiled the kind of
it
result here, you know?
It took me a long time.
So are you just saying that you just don't like coffee then?
No, I mean, I like this.
Which one's which?
I
think the coffee's the poop.
So when it comes to the stuff that I've been getting lately, Joe, like the cappuccinos or the mocha lattes or whatever the fuck you want to call them, like all these more geared towards the sweeter side of stuff.
Yeah.
I would much prefer than an unsweetened iced coffee with a sweetener of syrup. Because I feel like the sweetener of syrup always just tastes fake. It tastes, I don't know, it tastes like they're trying to trick me. You know, I don't like trying to be tricked.
They got secrets.
Yeah.
I'll say when I first started drinking Starbucks, obviously I think I went through the classic path of people who do it, right? I was young, went Frappuccinos, mocha Frappuccinos, that did all that stuff
all
first.
The chocolate drizzle.
All that stuff bullshit, first. Yeah. And then slowly but surely, kind of trained myself to go to just iced coffee. But then I used to do, because I didn't want all the calories of the actual sweetener, I'd say unsweetened, but then I would put like three Splenda in it with just a shit ton of half and half, which makes it completely just a different drink. And then slowly but surely took out the Splenda and then took out the half and half. And that's how I got to like actually acquiring a taste for iced black coffee.
Now what's the half and half?
Half and half's like it's cream. Basically it's half milk, half cream basically. It's, so it's a thicker.
The little things, the little tiny pods that you open up and pour that all on the side.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, I just have, Nick. Oh my gosh. That just takes me back to like going to old Mexican restaurants where they had like the clear white or the clear red cups, similar to like the Pizza Hut ones.
The Coca-Cola ones, yeah.
I just remember like I'd get like a little breakfast taco and a little like just potatoes because a little just the eggs at the time, a little some bacon, and my grandma would always have a little, little half and half thing. It just takes me back
like,
to a time.
Stack them on the table.
Yeah, dude. It takes me back to a time, Joe.
Kevin, what were you saying?
I was going to say, have you ever, like, have we ever told you, me and Tim, why we like black coffee?
No, I don't think so.
It was because Tim used to hang out with Nick, and Tim would go and order a Frappuccino, which me and Tim were both really into at the time, and Nick would just kind of give him shit about it till he embarrassed him too much.
That's not it, Kev. I thought you were going to go a different direction with it. That's partly true. And I was past the fraps at that point. By the time I was with Nick, it was definitely I was in mocha
the caramel macchiato.
Oh, macchiato. World. Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Give me a good caramel macchiato.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I worked with a guy at Best Buy who would always go, give me some of that macchiato. He would always do that.
Macchiato.
Ricky Stribling. Hope you're doing well, Ricky Stribling.
Hell yeah.
Did people like Ricky? Was Ricky a guy that people liked?
Oh, he was cool shit. He was like kind of the dude who was not the boss, but in the position above me. And we were just homies. Like, we talked football all the time. I'd call him Strib, he'd call me Cortez, and he'd always walk in and be like, come on, Cortez, what are you doing, dog?
Because said to me reminded me of a guy we used to work with named Alex Solomita, and that's such a thing Alex. That Alex would have said. Give me one of those macchiatos. Give me one of the macchiatos. And I would have, but with Alex, and Alex, if you're watching, I love you. You know I love you. Thank you for the text of Psych 3. But it would be every other time it would annoy you. It would be once where we'd get a laugh, and then he'd do it again, and it would annoy you, and then he'd do it again, and you'd laugh, and then he'd do it again. You know what I mean, Tim? Tim knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Love you, Alex.
That's how Nick and Alex work, for sure. But the Nick shame is definitely true to an extent, but I wouldn't call it shame as much as education. Like, he got me to a good place where I was drinking the black coffee. But I will say, to twist this, though, there was still the judgment where I judged the fuck out of Nick, mostly silently. I did call you out a bunch of times for the Splenda and half and half you'd pour in, because you were just like creating a problem. You didn't order a problem, but then you made it a problem.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But the reason I skipped that step entirely and I just jumped straight to the black iced coffee was because there was this dude named Bernard that kind of ran IGN, like at least the parts of IGN we were on from a business standpoint. And I've never met a more intimidating, more business-minded man than him. And he was just impressive. Like, he's just one of those like hulking figures that you look at and you're just like, whatever you say, you're absolutely right. And I'll never fucking forget that he was just talking about, like, he watched me go to IGN and order make a coffee, and then he was like, what you putting in that? And I was like, I don't know, some stuff. He's like, I just drink my coffee black. And he just walked away, and I was like, I'm drinking my coffee black.
I'll be black from now on. Yep,
that's just my life. And since then, that's how I tried my coffee. If Bernard's doing it, I'm fucking doing it, because that's a power move.
Yeah, a big part of it, Tim, is the intimidation. I feel, I don't know. It's like when I go to a bar, like, I don't know what I'm doing, and whatever you're getting, sure, I'll try that out. Similar to Blessing getting the old fashioned with Greg and Jen when he went out to go hang out.
A dirty martini.
Oh, a dirty martini.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love dirty martinis.
And then being like, you don't have to get that, you can get something else if you want. Yeah. It was just Blessing trying to fit in. But a lot of it is me worried about the shame of people shaming me and being like, oh, you got to do all the custom shit. It's like, I just want something that I enjoy the taste of. Back off.
But that's the point of coffee, is that it's, I mean, you're sort of not buying into the culture, but you're experiencing the culture. And if that culture for you, like, to me, coffee in the morning, like, you're on a trip, it's vacation. Maybe
we should
it's
have had Alexis
trip, right?
And Hunter on this episode, by the way.
Oh, but that would have been smart. I didn't know we're going to talk about coffee for this long. But, like, follow me on this one. We're on a work trip, right? We did the thing. We got one more thing left, you know? We're at the convention. We got one more thing left at 5. We all wake up around 11 o'clock. We're a little hungover, right? You get the text from Greg, hey, I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning because I'm a freak. Whatever. Going down to the breakfast table.
I did a hike at 3:30 in the morning.
I did a fucking ran a half marathon with Gia or whatever. I'm like, you guys, way too productive. Mm-hmm. I just rolled out of bed. Get a table. Do you guys want to come? You go, yes. Order me a coffee. And you get there and the coffee's there and it's hot. And it just is just so inviting, and it makes you think of friendship. And it just kind of fortifies you for the day, gets you ready for your day. That's the point of coffee. So if you want something that's going to be simple, if a cappuccino is your drink, then that is just your drink. No one's going to judge you for that. I will throw a little shade your way, though, if your coffee order has more than 3 modifiers to it. That's where I start thinking that's just too much for me.
I won't do it around Nick. I'm going to need you to, like, either go to the restroom while I'm ordering, or I'll go to the restroom while you're ordering so that you could go sit your fucking ass down and then I can order, you know, scene judgment. How do you say judgment in Spanish,
guys? Sans judgment. Oh, I don't know.
Scene. Yeah, no, you're right. Scene. But the French one is the only one people usually use, sans.
No, but I was going to say, how do you say judgment in Spanish?
I don't know.
Kevin and I both skipped past the question. We just said sans or sin. That's the...
I know without means scene.
God, man. I'm close.
Spanish with Kev.
Let's Google it.
Soy Kevin.
Soy Kevin. Anyway, that's just kind of my caveat. I just wanted to talk about that. I have another question opposed to the group.
Okay, go ahead.
I love when Eddie just owns shows.
I love it. It really takes a lot of the responsibility off me as the host, the de facto host of the show.
I'm sure people have written in questions and stuff, but I was kind of thinking about this the other day because I was, you know what? I was messaging a girl on Tinder. We were talking about our... how we prefer to work out, right? Oh, Tim, don't even make that noise. There's been like 30 of them and they all amount to nothing. Like, they just unmatch.
I owe you 29 more oohs.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, that's not a very dismissive of the women. I'm sorry. Like, no.
I read it as dismissive of the process, not the women.
Yeah, dismissive of the process.
The process of Tinder just sounds horrible.
The talking is not as alluring as it seems.
Yeah. She was like, well, why don't you like working out when it's, you know, in the weather outside? And I was like, well, I'm from Texas and this is kind of what I'm used to. And trying to run outside in San Francisco, it's like tougher on me. Like my lungs just have still not acclimated and probably never will get used to it. And then I wondered, like, if I could control the weather and make my seasons to just fit my world, what would they be? And I was wondering, what would yours be?
Hmm.
Like, what would your ideal summer be, your ideal fall? We're talking weather, precipitation, maybe a couple days it snows just so you can experience snow. You know, I don't know, whatever you want.
Don't need snow. Definitely don't need snow. And to this day, I don't understand people that choose to live in snow. If snow was thrust upon you, I understand that's a different thing. But if you're like, let's move to a snowy area and just be miserable for like 3 weeks out of the year or 4 weeks out of the year, no, I don't like that. But Andy, I love this question because, as you know, I'm from Southern California. I'm partial to a summer that's just a little too hot. Like you get in the car and you forget and you're wearing shorts. You go, because you burn the back of your thighs on the car seat.
The seatbelt kind of like, ooh, the middle part.
The middle part hits your nipple. You go, I can't use that for the rest of the day.
Why aren't you wearing a shirt?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, it goes through I wear a very...
Do you have just, like, a low-cut shirt or a high-cut?
Andy, in this fantasy, I'm wearing one of those mesh tank tops that just barely covers the nipples and just moves aside, and I'm working out all the time. It's mesh, yeah, it's mesh. Yeah, and I'm also driving, like, a Fiero, like some sort of Firebird. But then I want, when fall comes around, fall's my favorite season, first off. I love when the weather turns cold. I like when the leaves start falling. I like... when you get that little chill and you realize the holidays maybe are right around the corner, that's what I love. And then give me a little bit of rain, not too much rain, but enough rain so that people stop talking about the drought so I don't have to feel bad about taking really, 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 really long showers.
Don't talk down to me about my water usage, okay? Yeah, the whole planet could do a little bit better, okay? Not just me, all right? Yeah. Put the onus on big business, all right? Else.
Yeah.
Yeah, put this the onus on big business.
This is how dedicated I am to conserving water, to my water conservation efforts. I'm probably only going to drink Diet Coke for the rest of the day. Not even one sip of water. That's how serious I am about it, Andy.
Great. Let's let Nick frame it that way.
Taking one for the team, you know?
Yep.
For me, if I could make my summers 85 during the day, right? So it's warm outside.
85 is hot. That's hot.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but
San Francisco.
It's San Francisco hot, but I'm talking like ideal situation. I have air conditioning like I did back in Texas, and 85 everywhere is whatever because you step outside, you could work out. I could play basketball with the homies. I can get a really, really good sweat in still around 85. So you can get a sweat in at like fucking 65, but I just I prefer that warm weather. I would like the winters to maybe get down to like 40 or 50 just because I like Christmas to kind of feel chillier, obviously. And then maybe 3 days make it snow on random days. You know, don't tell me when. You just, I'll hit randomize on when the days that it does snow, because I want it to be a surprise. I enjoy that. And I haven't seen snow in like a decade. Spring could go just like summer. Again, you know, when you grow up in the RGV, spring and summer are the same. Like, as soon as winter's done, by the way, the winters in the RGV, they may be like 60 degrees. As soon as winter's done, spring hits and it's fucking 90 degrees, like, the next day. And then the summers will maybe hit 100 or whatever. But I would like my spring to be around 70. Let me get some of the cool.
70 is great weather.
The cool kind of crisp weather in the morning when you wake up also. And going now, into the fall, I would like, I'd say around 60 to 55 to lead into that. So it's, there's only about 30 degrees of change, but that's kind of all I want. But it's really the 85 in the summer that I really, that's the one that if the boss of weather said, no, Andy, you can't have all these modifiers. I'm Nick Scarpino. All these coffee modifiers don't work for me.
Three.
I would say, that's it. Okay, then just the 85 summer. That's the only one I would take. Go ahead, Nick.
Now, here's what I'm going to say. The one criticism I have of your plan, I think it was beautiful. Well said. Thank you. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
65 degree weather to 70 degree weather, or maybe like 60 to 65 degree weather, can go fuck itself. That's weather where you're like, do I bring a jacket? And you always get stuck holding the jacket. And if you don't bring the jacket, you freeze your cojones off and you're like, I should have brought the jacket. Yeah. That's the kind of shit that their I can't stand about cold, San Francisco. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you. If I could change one thing about the weather with this magical power that Andy has bestowed upon us, is that I want summer weather to be warm enough at night to where I don't have to bring a jacket.
Oh, I like that, Jeff.
That's Southern California.
I like when it's
right
warm
there.
At night. You can just go out, especially, in Orange County and even in Sacramento, where it's like, Sacramento gets like a little bit chilly at night because it has some Delta breeze or whatever.
It's like 75 all the time during the summer is what you would kind of want.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That was used to be the best, Joe, when it was like you'd get out of the bar or like you'd go outside to smoke a cigarette. Not that you ever smoke cigarettes, but you get outside to smoke a cigarette and you're just like, I'm almost sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's nice and it's quiet.
It kind of reminds me of the RTX days where there would be some days we would get lucky and we might have one day where it wasn't 100 degrees. It might be like lower 90s. Which, you know, we're in the convention hall all day. At night, we're going to be most likely bar hopping, going from place to place, going to that pizza spot or whatever. But at night, that's when it would be like up, like lower 80s, upper 70s on the lucky days, right? The ones that just are super rare. Mm-hmm. And I love that, Joe. Like walking out of the bar and it feels fresh. It doesn't feel like muggy or humid. It just feels good as shit. Oh, I love those nights. Love those nights.
Okay. Yeah, see, for me, growing up in San Francisco, consistency is key. I love that with the rare week exception here of the heat and the week exception of the intense rain and it's freezing fucking cold. Otherwise, we're kind of just always in the same place. The one thing I would change is the grayness of everything. I want blue skies at all times. Oh. I want to just get rid of seasons. I grew up not having seasons. I don't want seasons. Sure. They can die in a fire. 75 degrees Jesus at all times, period. Whether it's summer, winter, fall, spring, who gives a shit? It's 75 degrees.
Oh, but that's not good for
you. I'm feeling good.
You don't got AC at home, though.
That's what a fan's for. 75 is not that bad. And if it was 75 always.
75 sucks for me. But maybe I think it's just my location.
75 in the shade is totally fine.
75 outside is fine, but 75 in my apartment sucks.
Oh, you make a point.
Because it's like 85 in my apartment when it's 75 outside. Yeah, but I have to open the windows all the way and maybe just like sit on the porch and it's perfect.
That's
in my mind, though, this is the new standard for the world where this is the new weather. Everywhere is always 75. So with that, AC would be standardized everywhere.
Gotcha. Another modifier. We'll see what the weather guy thinks about
that. I'll tell you what should be the standard. Our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Kinda Funny Reactions. It's our show that we do weekly, sometimes multiple times a week, covering, reviewing, recapping, reacting to the latest in movie and TV, whether it's a movie trailer, a new episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch, which episode 1 and 2 right now, we have our thoughts over there. If you want any of the MCU shows, Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, all that stuff, it's there. We were even doing some movies like The Mitchells versus The Machines, which is out on Netflix now, and you can catch our thoughts on Kind of Funny Reactions, a show you can get on youtube.com/kindoffunny or podcast services. Search for kind of funny reactions. Please subscribe. Please leave good reviews. Please thumbs up, 5 stars, all the good stuff. 10 out of 10. It's all good stuff that helps us a lot, the algorithms and whatnot. But Kind of Funny Reactions is something that we want to grow and we want to push further. And the more people watching and listening, the more things we'll react to. That's just kind of how it works. We've been doing the Bad Batch for Star Wars. I'm not sure if we're going to do it weekly. If the reaction is there, we will. So if that sounds like something you're into, please check it out. But we're hoping to do a lot more reviews and stuff going forward. So please subscribe to that. Or if YouTube's more your thing, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Kind of Funny Reactions. It's a damn good time. Oh,
And now we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought you were about to go 69. Because 69.
No, 69 is a great weather, though. It's a great weather.
69 is my favorite temperature. Jokes aside, whatever. That's where I want it to be, whether I'm at a hotel or whether I'm in my car.
That's what my thermostat's always set to.
I always go to that 69. It feels great because you're getting that wind. Things are feeling nice from the AC coming at you. But it's not freezing cold. Because I feel like the moment you drop beneath 69, like you guys were talking about 65. 65 and under is fucking cold. Like, that's just where we're at. And once you start getting to the, like, people are, oh, I'm from Minnesota. It's like, yeah, it's fucking cold, guys. Anything under 65
you're
is
crazy.
Fucking cold. It's just even more fucking cold. We get
this
it.
This is what I understand about people who are like, oh, you guys don't understand cold. We're like, yeah, we don't. Because snow is scary and it's dangerous. And it's cold, and we don't like that cold. Similar to how Andy's talking about RTX, that's a little too hot. Like, when you walk out of the convention center, and
it's not
it feels
even the
like,
hot, it's the humid.
It's, but it feels, Joe, like the heat is, and the humidity is just pushing you into the ground, and it's, like, harder to walk. But it is a nice trade-off when you go and you're drinking on that rooftop bar and you're just like, this is the life. We're living la vida loca.
But there definitely are the exceptions. I remember... I forget which RTX it was, but so many guests came into town, and I think it may have been 2018. No, maybe 2016. I forget which year it was. But it was definitely one of the years where it was not the norm. It was really nice, and people are like, Austin's so beautiful. I'm like, dude, no.
It was don't know.
It was 104 last week.
You don't know.
Like 3 days ago, and it usually should be 104, but right now, for whatever reason, it's not. I'm talking about the outliers. I'm talking about the days that are just perfect, right? And the reason why I do want seasons, Tim, is I do think it helps better track the passage of time for me to know, oh, fall's coming. It's getting a little crispy outside. I enjoy this. And then the winter comes, and then, you know, we're talking, you know, lower 50s is what I would prefer. And then it snows 3 days. Again, randomized days. Pick a day.
See, I have a problem with the randomized days.
Yeah, I
want
to know.
I want to know. And I would preferably like it to be between Christmas and New Year's, because that's already like a dead zone anyways, where anything goes.
Sure.
And I don't feel the need to be productive, because I feel like being productive in the snow is
Make it in
fun.
The Christmas break. Make it in that Christmas break for sure. Yeah, that way you don't have to worry about, damn, I was supposed to go fucking get I was going to get my tires replaced or get my tires rotated or whatever the hell. Yeah, make it during that break where, you know, I'm not doing shit. I'm just kind of chilling right now. I like that.
All but right.
See, my thing, Andy, is like, as you know this, I like living my life like a cartoon character where I pretty much just have palette swapped like clothing, and I like jackets. So to me, I'm like, seasons scare me, because then I need to be like fucking summer Tim, and I don't want that shit.
I feel that. What's up, Kev?
Also, if you get rid of seasons, you get rid of sad. Seasonal affection. What it's called. You know what it is, right?
Yeah. The people that everybody in Seattle, like the thing everybody in Seattle has or whatever, because it's always
very
cloudy.
High suicide rate. It's very sad.
Yeah. But I love cloudy days. Don't get me wrong. Like,
oh, I love when it's overcast. But I love it. It's best for picture taking for Instagram.
But maybe it's because I like change. That's one thing that I think that I'm more... you know, stoked about and more accepting of is change. I like change.
Like Joe was like, really?
It's weird. Like, if Tim said today,
I never would have pegged Andy as somebody that likes change. I would have said that Andy likes routine.
No. I love change, especially when it's, because to me, it's an aesthetic change, right? If it's cloudy outside, it's like, oh, it's different today. It's nice.
For the weather.
Yeah. What's up, Kev?
Oh, I was just going to ask. One of the things that I like to do is, like, when I'm driving to work, like, every once in a while, I'll just be like, I'm going to drive a different way.
They say that's actually really good for, like, your mental state, because right in the morning, it, like, challenges you to to get out of that like subconscious area of your brain and I gotta figure out a new route.
So you're just not brain fogging it all
the
way.
On autopilot. They say like every once in a while just take a different route or just drive around, like just do something different that breaks the morning routine, because it's good for mental acuity apparently.
No, I like when it, again, I like change. And if Tim said today, hey, our colors are now, you know, fucking
orange,
red,
and pink,
red and something, I'd be like, cool, all right, I like that. And everybody would hate it, but I just like seeing new things. And I think maybe if it's sunny for so long and then we get a cloudy day, I get excited for that. Or if it's cloudy for a long time, we get a sunny day, I'm like, I get excited for that as well.
That's true.
I'm the same way though, when it comes to apps. I've talked about this before, Nick. Like when Twitter changes its UI and everybody gets mad, it's like, I get stoked for that shit. I love visual differences. I love font changes. I love that shit, dude.
I'm all for aesthetic changes. I don't love UI changes, because I feel like more often than not, I'm like, I just figured this program out. I just figured this app out. And now you're doing this thing where it's totally different. Ooh. I don't like it.
Except for the likes button on Instagram changing to a shopping center. Who's fucking used that since that came out? Nobody.
Oh, it sucks.
Only accidentally. Like, you can't show me one person who has deliberately and purposefully tapped on the shopping button on Instagram because they want to shop for stuff. Like, it's always an accident. That's got to be where their numbers are, because fuck that. Change it back. Why are you going to do that? Stupid. Stupid as hell. Anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, you all know out there, you can back this podcast over on patreon.com/kindoffun. And you can be a Patreon producer. You can write in and you can ask us questions just like Kiernan Smoke did again. This is 2 weeks in a row, I believe. I'm reading a question from Kiernan. It says, what is a song you can't listen to anymore because it reminds you of an otherwise unrelated memory or piece of media? For example, the song Gloria makes me cry because it's connected to the Channel 4 HBO Max series It's a Sin.
Wait. Oh, so maybe they don't like that thing?
Just that it's emotional.
Oh, okay.
Damn, somebody you hear and you go, I can't get taken back to that time.
Oh my gosh.
I love that song so much.
Mine.
Jam.
Joey knows mine, and I'm going to probably finally say it because I'm just comfortable. Ooh. I think time's passed and I don't really care anymore. But one of my favorite bands of all time, The Starting Line, I ended up meeting the singer. And then the singer and a girlfriend of mine, gave her his number. And I introduced her to the singer because my friend was in a band with him in a side project of his. And I idolized this dude. And then we had like a falling out. It was a shitty relationship. So I'm not trying to act like this ended the relationship, because it was like doomed anyway. But I remember going over to her house and like trying to get her back. And then she told me, I'm dating so-and-so. And I was like, so-and-so, does he live in the valley? I'm trying to like, she's like, no, from The Starting Line. And I just like,
gutted.
It killed me, dude. And I still can't really listen to the band because I feel like a fucking clown. Like, I feel like I got, and it just really broke my heart. Not only because of how much I love that band, but like, damn, I introduced you to her. What the fuck? Like, I introduced you to him. Oh my God. Like, I was kind of the cause of this, but you know, that's also me just reading too deep into it, but it's still like, it still fucks me up. And you know, I'll get asked often, you know, if I'm talking about any sort of emo bands or pop punk bands from the 2000s, like, oh, what about Starting Line? I just like always kind of ignore it. Like, oh yeah, I used to listen to Starting Line, whatever. But like, it's still a band that, and it sucks because I think that they are still one of the more consistent bands. So many bands from that era have grown out of the sound, and they keep on maybe trying to do that. They
never got like mainstream popular unless you listen to like,
yeah, like it's not like Fall Out Boy where like I just can't listen to them anymore, or bands that I really dug back in the day and they keep trying to make music now and it's like, it just doesn't work anymore. You guys got to like figure something else out or just not do it. Mm-hmm. They just kind of kept on making good music, and that's what always bummed me out. It's like anytime I listen to them, I feel like I got cucked, you know?
Yeah.
Listen to one of their songs right now.
It's just like a huge bummer for me, especially because, like, you know, I'm not talking about like some random band. It's like Coheed and Cambria, Blink-182 type levels of my connection to them, where
yeah.
I bought the same bass, Fender bass that the singer had. I can still play so many of their songs and guitar just because I like jammed them into my memory and learning how to play guitar as a kid, you know? So that's one that like is definitely tied to really, really fucked up memories. And as well as like, maybe the song's not necessarily that I avoid, but I think of Folie à Deux, the album from Fall Out Boy, the fourth one. And I always just think of that when I first moved to Austin. And it just puts me in that place in time. And it's not a negative memory, but it's just, it's weird. Whenever I hear that, I immediately just teleported back to 2008. And I think about like meeting the first girl there that I had a relationship with, and then just driving back to the apartment after work. It's so wild. Like, it just feels like a lifetime ago. Recently, we saw this trend on Twitter of, like, post a photo of yourself that feels like from a lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of that to me is like Austin, living in Austin. When we talk about the, we already talked about it on a podcast one time, but like the different eras of our lives. And that's definitely like that lifetime for me.
Crazy. Joe, do you have a song that you can't listen to anymore? It could be a good reason or a bad reason. What is it, Joe?
No, it's always sad. I feel like it's usually songs that I can't listen to anymore have like some sort of a sad or negative event, but it's called Hear You Me by Jimmy Eat World. It's so sad. But like, must have been my freshman year of college. I found out that like one of my high school, she was like a friend, but we weren't like, she wasn't in my inner circle, but like in the extended friend group, had like hit a tree at night and passed away and stuff like that. And I was like on a big Jimmy Eat World kick. So that was like, that's the go-to like sad Jimmy Eat World song. So I just always think about that whenever it's on. Yeah, I'm like, nope.
Skip. I'm really bad with Jimmy Eat World songs where like I have to play. I'm really bad with the titles. And as soon as I play, I was like, oh yeah, this is a fucking heartbreaker of a song.
When Angels Lead You In or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the main line. But that's an auto skip for sure. And honestly, the Up soundtrack too.
Oh God.
Since that destroyed me on Interview. It's like, no, I'm just going to skip that on my Disney playlist for a little bit.
See, for me, it's stuff like that, right? Where I can't think of a song offhand that I'm like, I just flat out won't listen to. But there are certain songs, specifically a lot of songs from movies, that if I hear the song, it just makes me feel the full emotional range that I felt throughout the years watching that movie or engaging with that, you know, the series. And there's two songs or one theme and I guess like two soundtracks that come to mind. One is the bells from Harry Potter, like the very beginning of the first Harry Potter where you just hear, maybe they're not bells, but they're chimes or whatever it is, mm-hmm. of the John Williams score. And every time all the emotion of reading the books and staying with that series throughout the years and what it meant to me and what it still, you know, continues to mean to me always comes back. So I get like weird, almost like panicky anxiety when I hear it. Cause I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to do that.
That was such a long time
again.
Ago too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other one that always gets me for some reason, it's like I walked into Starbucks the other day and they were playing the La La Land soundtrack. And I was like, nope. I'm like, nope. I can't do that right now. I can't be in that space. You know, it had a bittersweet ending. And you know what? That's reality. But a third runner up for me, Tim, and then we'll get to yours in a second, is the Happy Days song, the theme from Happy Days. Just don't know why. It's just every time
that's a random one.
Every time I hear it, I don't know why, but it just triggers
like
something deep
Sunday,
in me.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days?
No, it's a Henry Winkler joke. I'm just joking around.
I didn't get that. Sorry.
I'm happy you explained it, though, because that's pretty damn funny.
Yeah, that would be, it'd be weird if people were like, why does he have a fucking weird? Yeah, Henry Winkler. Like, I was just trying to make a joke. Tim, is there a piece of media or song that stokes emotions in you?
A ton of stuff. I mean, like in a different direction than this, I feel like there's a lot of albums that I would consider classics from my like, you know, middle school, high school era phase or whatever. Like Eminem's a really good example, and some Kanye things to an extent, and even like things that I really love, like Tone Deaf and Q and Five stuff. Like it's hard for me to listen to now because I think I've just listened to them so many times that like it almost comes off as corny. Like all of it just kind of like it feels like a been there, done that thing that like I almost feel embarrassed listening to now. And like it's a weird thing where in my mind I'm like, I loved, like, this was my life. My entire personality was this album. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I listen back now and I'm like, oh my God, like, how did I tie myself to that so much, you know? And even still amazing stuff in a lot of ways. Like, I don't want to lump Tone Deaf and them into the same category as like Kanye and Eminem at this point. But it's just, there's just something where it's like, it's not like I'm really embarrassed of who I was at that point, but it is just more like I do have some type of embarrassment listening to a lot of songs that I listened to thousands of times in the past. Yeah.
Wait, is it because of the subject matter?
That's the thing is, I think it's just kind of like it just comes off as corny, whatever it is. And I think that it might even have less to do with the music and just more to do with just me.
Who you were at the time or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a combination of all of it. But me and my brother have talked about it a lot where it's like there's albums that we still would stand by now as 10 out of 10, but I don't really ever want to listen to it again. And listening to it kind of just feels like
ran its course with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And then besides that, like I have a similar situation to Andy. Not quite as far, but I did have a situation where I met an artist that I really liked and liked their music a lot. And I was with Gia and he was extremely rude to Gia. And to the point that it like, I can't listen to the music anymore. It just isn't the same.
That sucks.
And it just fucking sucks. Like it's really, really like shitty how that can go. And then another thing I want to bring up, two little bits I want to bring up. One in terms of the sadness thing is the song Hurt by Johnny Cash. They used that in the Eddie Guerrero tribute video the day he died. And it like fucking just destroyed me. And anytime I hear that song, it's just like, it's way too much for me to deal with. And then the last one was, I'm blanking on it now, but one that I want to give
see
a shout
you
out
again.
To. It, no, see, I love that shit. But in a different way is I can't listen to the song from Mandalorian season 2 when Luke returns. Like when that plays, I can't listen to it because if I do, that's a whole day wasted. I'm going back watching reaction videos. Yeah. I'm going down a rabbit hole of looking up hypey three moments. It's just like that. Listening to that gets me into fucking zone of just pure hype and excitement that I'm just like, I need to fucking feel as much as I could possibly.
Gotta be alive.
Feel right
this
now.
Is the only thing. This is the only time I feel alive is watching hype videos on
that's,
YouTube.
I guess that's Portals from Endgame too. Like
totally same thing. It's like Portals, I'm just going down
like,
this path
all right,
now.
This is gonna be my day. Yeah,
literally. This morning, in between the meeting and when Tim called me to do this, I watched the hammer when Cap gets it, and I was just like, I don't think I've ever felt those emotions from any other thing than that.
You're so lucky.
Oh, sorry.
You're so lucky.
I remember what I wanted to say, and this is like a bigger thing because, like, you know, we've talked a lot about separating artists from the art and how difficult that can be, and I think a lot of the times we have those conversations is in terms of like people that are being canceled for like really, really horrific things and whatever. And the level of those shitty things we talk about usually is on the more extreme side of like clearly they're horrible people. And as a society, we've decided this is bad. But something that I think deserves to be in that category that we just don't really put there for some reason, I think we're going to one day, is people cheating on their partners. I feel like that is something that I have a really, really hard time to deal with when I've listened to an artist for years and love their music and specifically love their music about relationships and about, you know, all these hardships and stuff. And then if they were to cheat on their wife or cheat on their whatever, I find that just very hard for me to reconcile listening to the music still, because it all of a sudden feels inauthentic, you know, to hear these words that don't match up with the way that you're living your life and
imagine
and
how they
doing
felt.
Things. Yeah. Oh, exactly. 100%. Yeah. But I feel like it's just constantly that's happening. And it's just, that is something that I've found very difficult for me to be able to appreciate the work, whether it's music or otherwise, when that happens. Don't cheat on people. Be fucking cool. Break up with people and then get with someone else if that's what you want to do.
Great.
Very true. Get it from somewhere else. I agree, Tim.
We have one more question that I want to ask you guys. This is a good one. We're getting toward the end of the show, and I'm wondering if we should save this for the post show. We'll ask it now.
No, we got time. We started like only an hour ago or something.
That's true. This will be a fun one. So Eric Myers writes in and says, you have to take one of the other hosts out on a date. You got Tim, Nick, Andy, Greg. We'll throw Joe in there as well because, Joe, you've been on a lot of these shows. Who are you taking out and what are you doing to make it an unforgettable time? For context, it's a post-COVID world and all expenses are paid for by Kevin after he made a fortune from breakthrough milkshake technology.
Ooh. Congratulations, Kevin.
Kevin is a billionaire now. Exciting. Kevin's paying for
shit.
Our lives.
We're working on a lot of shit. You hold on.
I like this. This is cool. Yeah. This is a good question. Now,
before we start answering, I want to set the stage of understanding of what the prompt actually is. Is it us going on a date with them or is it like they don't know us?
No,
it's I'm like, taking Tim out like on a date. How do I, I took you out on a date, Tim, how would I make that date so it's unforgettable for you? Like what would I do with Tim? I'll start. I'll take Tim out on a date. Okay. And here's our perfect date. Okay. We get in the Prius C.
Uh-huh.
We drive our asses all the way down to Disneyland, where I have reservations. I have reservations for us at Club 33.
Love it.
Okay. But before we do that, we have a guide that takes us through all the fast packs nonsense that you do to get us on every ride that Tim wants to go on first. And I have arranged because I have all my contacts at Disney for us to get a sneak preview of whatever the new Cars 2 land is that's coming. Yeah, exactly. We have a nice little dinner at Club 33. And then I give him a Disney bomber jacket that is just the perfect color blue.
I love it, man.
That is the
man after my own heart. That's fantastic.
Andy. Joe. What's it called? Joe. Who are you taking out? What are you going to do?
I don't know. This is a hard one. What would we do? I mean, it's kind of hard to top Disneyland. I feel like that's like a vacation. Joe, that's a weekend.
I mean, Joe, this is like unlimited money because of Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Kevin's got billions of dollars.
Kevin's got the milkshake money.
We'll just assume that Kevin's going to share some of that money with us. But we all kind of know secretly deep down that the second Kevin becomes a billionaire, he is going to have us all murdered. Probably.
Joe, I do agree with you though. Like Nick's is more of a vacation than a date. Like it's not just let's hang out tonight. It's not like one of those.
That all in one day. We can't do the drive. You're right. Can't do the drive.
Yeah. Kevin, with his infinite milkshake money, has now implemented high speed railways in California. Yeah, that's true. You guys are down and back in an hour.
Elon Musk have made the.
Just take a plane.
Kevin, but that's not as fun.
It's still 4 hours. Still a 4 hour turnaround.
It's true. If I can do like a fun Nick one, I want to take Nick and I want to experience a film festival with Nick.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I want to know really what like that's like. Yeah, we do TIFF, maybe a little Sundance, any of those.
Sundance would be so freaking fun.
Cocktails afterwards, sort of thing.
We're seeing three movies in a row. We're sharing snacks. I don't know if they have snacks.
Pocket snacks. They do. We'll bring them in.
We're sneaking them in if they don't.
We're getting those mini Twix bars. We're going to put them in Andy's pocket. He's going to sneak them in for us.
I'm third wheel.
Perfect. And then afterwards, we're going to a bar. We're having some nice cocktails. Maybe rubbing elbows, talking. Nick's in his element. He's talking to Denis Villeneuve
about
cinematography.
Dune.
It's just... all these interesting movie conversations, the industry stuff. Joey, what would you cast?
That was
fun. We get to talk about
and that. I would totally go to this film festival with you. But what would you do if we were at this cool swanky party? And James Cameron comes up and he's like, and you see James Cameron, you go,
yeah,
like, oh my God, that's James Cameron. Mm-hmm. And I go, ugh, I don't want to talk to that guy again. Yeah, what do you do? What's your first question?
What do you do, Joe? Make this
to you or James Cameron?
To either of us.
James Cameron, I need to know why couldn't Jack just get on the floating door with Rose? Why did you do this to us? It was my earliest heartbreak in my entire life.
Too heavy. What a waste of a question.
He doesn't have another piece of wood out there.
But I need to know. No, we need Titanic too. Jack's frozen in the water like Captain America.
They thaw him out. He gets a shield. It's ready to go.
Exactly.
He's ready to go.
Exactly.
I think I've got a date for Kevin. I would take Kevin to. I would hit up my former boss Richard Garriott, and just ask if we could tour one of his houses, just walk around, hang out
in
there.
Is this your car dealership boss or?
No, this is the one that went
Richard
to the
Garriott
space station.
Was his boss, yeah.
This is the one who went to the space station. Because his houses, there are several awesome documentaries on YouTube about them where they are almost like escape rooms. Like there's so many hidden doors and secret, like, you know, secret rooms and shit like that. And plus he has a lot of stuff in, you know, similar to like a museum. He has the piece of the fucking, oh gosh, I can't think of the shuttle that they were in. He has like a lot of really cool artifacts in his house. It's beautiful. Cool shit. So I would like to take Kevin there, just walk around in there, just kind of like look at stuff, have him explain, be our tour guide. Maybe we also do an escape room, Kevin. I feel like that would really get Kevin jacked up. He would feel in his element, solving puzzles. Okay?
I said I accept.
Oh, you accept. You accept. Okay,
yeah,
got
I'm
it.
In. I'm in.
And then afterwards, to end the night, just like one of the best steak dinners. You know, Kevin's using all his milkshake technology. I just want a really, really damn good dinner, Kevin. Mashed potatoes, the fixins, everything. Like, this is we're talking like a $300 dinner type
of thing. The guy's like, would you like to put some lobster on top of that steak?
Yeah, sure, why not? Like, whatever you got in the back, bring it out here. Like, I think Kevin would dig that. So would I. Sipping on some. I'd have a little Moscow Mule. We'd just, like, chat the night away about whatever the hell. I think that'd be a cool date.
Andy, as the decider, I choose your date. Everyone else.
Okay. Ow, okay. Well, Tim's not done yet.
It's not well,
my date for Andy is pretty simple. We go to some type of orchestral concert that is celebrating some type of fandom, whether it's video games.
I've already
or
been
movies.
To the Zelda one, but we do it again because that shit made me cry like
Zelda.
Five times. Yeah.
And that's my point, Andy. That's what I want. We go to this Zelda concert. Breath of the Wild, the song starts playing, and me and you, both of us, crying. We don't look at each other, but we know that each one of us is crying. We know that we're both feeling the exact same
thing.
I
got a little cider in my hand.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. The tears aren't, like, fully going down.
Oh,
but
no,
they're welling up.
They're
getting there. And then the two of us both raise our fists, and, like, we don't actually contact fist bump, but we just both
almost
kind of,
yeah.
We just pump, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And as that happens, then the tears become visible. Yeah. Then the two of us, we're just kind of in sync in this moment. And then after it ends, hopefully you've had a couple ciders. Hopefully you've transitioned over to the patented Andy Moscow Mule. Then I take you to whatever the most expensive pasta place in San Francisco is. I haven't been. I don't even know what it is. I just tried googling it.
Ristorante Trattoria, you know, it's the bomb. It's the one,
exactly, whatever that is. And we just got to make sure that they got your shrimp, you know what I mean. Get some shrimp in that pasta, get that in your belly, and that's all, that's it, you know what I mean. Gotta
shrimp linguine,
gotta
some
keep it
oil
simple.
Some oily pasta, we got the garlic all over it, kind of just filling the room, lemony sort of taste with the Texas toast. Oh yeah.
Here's the thing, though. All of this is on the earlier side. We went to the afternoon concert. We had this for a dinner because we got to make sure that we're done with dinners, that we have more than enough time between that 8 and 9 p.m. to go to a Best Buy and just walk around.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And just kind of debrief on the whole experience. And that's
also, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, you got to walk off the lunch sort of thing. You know, that's one thing. After church with my family, we'd always go to Johnny Carino's. I already talked about this place before, but it's kind of like an Olive Garden, a little bit cheaper, but I think better in my opinion. But you'd always go to like the Best Buy afterwards and the Home Depot and just like walk off the food, man. We ate so much. I just try to walk this off. But now, how about this? Because I kind of want to take everybody on a date. We go to Topgolf. We just get hit. We hit golf balls. Fun. We
get
drunk.
Get a little saucy.
We eat some fucking like just mozzarella cheese sticks and fried pickles and chicken wings. Ugh, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Now here's the thing.
Oh man,
I feel like
one.
We should end the show here. Because we get in the post show, I want to talk about this, Andy, where I want to talk about what's our first group date?
I like this question.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Kind of Funny podcast. Of course, thank you so much for listening and for watching on YouTube. Subscribe to this channel and hit that like button and maybe that notification button as well. And leave a little comment down in the comments below. Let us know where you take one of us and maybe we'll take you up on that offer. Probably not, though. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
I'll be busy that day.